I was thinking about that today and the foes that we face almost on a daily basis. And last Sunday, the Lord had me speak a little bit about the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill. And this morning, he has led me to speak about David when he faced Goliath. And fear. Fear, by definition, is a natural emotion triggered by a perceived danger. And it results in one of two responses, either fight or flight. And fear is a necessary thing for survival. If we did not experience fear from time to time, we might incur physical harm or even death. And sometimes fear is caused by not understanding something or someone who is unfamiliar to us. I fear that situation or that place or that person. But knowledge and understanding are the keys to dispelling fear. Once you learn, then you're not afraid anymore, are you? The word fear, I looked up in the concordance, it appears exactly 400 times in Scripture. So based on that alone and the many occurrences we read about, we can conclude that God knows that we can be fearful, that fear is a natural emotion for human beings. But His Word provides us with knowledge and understanding that not only He is in control, but the battle that you're facing right now has already been won. The phrase "fear not" appears 63 times in Scripture. A couple of examples are in Genesis 15:1, when the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In Exodus 14:3, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew unto you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." And then in Deuteronomy 1:21, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged." When Lauren was critically injured 12 years ago, and she was on life support in the ICU, Shelley and I feared greatly. Probably more fearful than we'd ever been in our lives. And that one night, I'll never forget, I'd like to not think about it, but her vital signs were crashing very rapidly, and the entire medical team was in her room trying to keep her from dying. And I think I've told you this before, Angie Seibert was with us, and she had her Bible, and she just flipped open her Bible and said, "Shelley, just read." And she put her finger randomly, and guess where that fell? Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And if you think that was a random occurrence, at that very moment, Shelley received a text message from Karen Brock, who was in her home, probably 12 miles away. Said the Lord just spoke to her and said, "Send this verse to Shelley." It was exactly the same verse at exactly the same time. One of the best examples I can think of, and I was really touched by it during our recent trip, an example of not fearing was David when he faced Goliath. Imagine, you know, what an imposing figure Goliath must have been. If you want to turn over to 1 Samuel 17, imagine facing someone like this. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That's over 10.5 feet tall. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's 110 pounds. And he had greaves of brass on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. The spearhead alone was 13 pounds. And then in verse 10, Goliath made a grave mistake when he said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day." On our trip earlier this month, we visited several ancient cities and historical sites in both Greece and Italy dating back over 2,500 years, long before Paul. And many of these cities were places where he had traveled during his missionary journeys. And I imagined, what must it have been like for Paul as he introduced Jesus Christ to these Jews and Gentiles alike who had never heard of Jesus? Initially, when I started in college, I endeavored to become an art major. And one of the classes that we were required to take was world art history. And so when we were in Florence, I wanted to see paintings and sculptures of my favorite masters, the Renaissance masters, such as Raphael, Da Vinci, Botticelli, Michelangelo, and others. But most of all, I wanted to see the Statue of David. It had always had an intriguing thing for me, and I know you know what that statue looks like. And we were on a tour for about 2.5 hours in the gallery. And as the tour concluded, we entered one final room. And as I turned to the right, I had my first look at the image that I had longed to see all of my life. And as I drew closer and closer, I began viewing the Statue of David, slowly walking around, looking at every angle from the back, the side, the front, from all sides. And my impression was David's stance and his posture and his countenance and the sling that was draped over his left shoulder and just one stone in his right hand. Every detail was perfect. It was as if David had been encased in a block of marble deep in the earth for thousands of years, and he had finally been freed by the master's hand. And then something extraordinary happened to me. I looked up and looked at David's, that sculpture's face. And I encourage you to do it sometime. Look at his face. And when you view David's face at just the right angle, you can see something that I had never seen before in any photograph. There was almost an indescribable, penetrating look in his eyes and a slight furrow on his brow as he stood boldly, as if he was gazing straight ahead at his enemy. There was not the slightest amount of fear in his face. Rather, his face to me conveyed complete confidence that the battle was the Lord's, and it had already been won. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, this day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand. And I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, I was thinking of that when I was looking at his face, and I began to cry. There were hundreds of people around. They're probably thinking, what is this fool doing? Why is he crying? And I wondered, do they see what I see? Do they know what I know? Precious hearts, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? The battle's already won. He's your victor. He's your champion. He's your healer, your king. And he's your soon coming bridegroom. Victory at hand. I have many more stories to share with you, and perhaps if the Lord doesn't come today, we'll have that opportunity. But I pray he come today.